The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're broadcasting live from our comfortable and cozy studio here on the Edstone campus in the UK, right in the heart of the UK, the Midlands, the West Midlands region. Had a smooth day of travel through the night, Monday evening on through to yesterday. And we're back at it, a little bit out of sorts, a little bit running behind, but a live broadcast, nonetheless. Thanks to Richard Palmer for filling in on yesterday's show. You can, I forget the exact title, but he talked about America's, or rather the world's, preparation or reaction to the upcoming U.S. presidential election, which is now just 2 weeks away. So if you'd like to get to that podcast, you can get to Richard's and all of the podcasts or the radio broadcasts that we have at our website, thetrumpet.com. And also you can get to everything else on the website, videos and articles. And speaking of videos, we've got a TV segment that we recorded just last week at Mount Rushmore. Beautiful, beautiful backdrop. So you'll want to stay tuned to catch a glimpse of that. We'll be playing that program for the second half segment on today's show. So you get the world premiere of that particular TV program, which we'll be posting to the website as a TV program on Friday, and that'll play here in the UK over the weekend. So we'll let you know next week what kind of response that generates. But the subject is God and Abraham Lincoln, and we found a nice location just across the road from the Mount Rushmore Monument. And you can see the four presidents in the background. That just looks really nice. I saw it last evening. So if you'd like to see that, see what we were up to the day or two after the Feast of Tabernacles, make sure that you listen to the second half of today's show. Well, quite a bit in the news and quite a bit of scandalous activity that's not really getting the kind of headlines that you would expect. I just want to refer you back to some of the things that my father has said about the radical left, about what the Jeroboam administration is going up against. And these are quotes that we've used before. This first one from December of 2018, this was following the Kavanaugh hearings, and we know what the Democrats did there to try to destroy that man right in front of the whole world. That was back in the fall or autumn of 2018. And my father wrote, following that circus, that sham of a hearing, he said, if Republicans had not confirmed Kavanaugh, to me that would have indicated that we had already seen the last vestige of resistance to the left extinguished. That was their plan, he says further on, but God upset their plan. God upset their plan, and that's what we keep seeing over and over again. And now here more recently, with all of this evidence turning up about the Biden family from a laptop that was just left at a computer repair shop and not picked up. It was basically it was abandoned by Hunter Biden, from what we can discern. He just dropped it off and left it there, and left it there for months. And again, think about some of these quotes, God upsetting their plan. As much as they tried to destroy Kavanaugh, as much as they tried to destroy Donald Trump, we see God pretty much intervening time and time again, even going back to the 2016 election. Of course, they were doing all that they could before the election to try to destroy Donald Trump. But they found, speaking of laptops, they found that laptop from Anthony Weiner, and that had all kinds of disgusting content on it as well. But together with that, it had thousands and thousands of emails from Hillary Clinton. So it was about a month before the election when the FBI had to come out and say, this was when Jim Comey was in charge. He had to come out and say, look, we're investigating this laptop. And he had put the investigation into the other email crimes that were committed, you know, with Hillary Clinton having her own server and so on. So he had to deal with that delicately in the summer of 2016. Then comes Anthony Weiner's laptop. They have to reopen an investigation into Hillary Clinton. They were all operating under the assumption that Hillary Clinton would win. And so if she won, and then it came out later that Comey just kind of sat on this this laptop and never really did look into it, that would really look bad. So he was doing everything that he could to just walk that fine line, to pretend that, you know, he was an honest man of integrity. But obviously they were all of them were in the tank for Hillary Clinton. Well, so this comes out a few weeks before the election. And some say that that hurt Hillary Clinton's chances of winning, or at least Hillary Clinton even said that after the election, when really it came down to the fact that she just didn't get out there and campaign the way that President Trump did, or then candidate Trump did, particularly in those Rust Belt states. So there was that back in 2016. I gave you the Kavanaugh example from 2018. And this is what my father wrote in August of 2019. This is a little over a year ago. He said, many Democrats thought Bob Mueller would be able to prove absolutely that the president obstructed justice. That was Mueller's goal, but Barr, Bill Barr that is, somehow understood what Mueller was doing and produced this memo. So this is my father writing about that memo that Bill Barr wrote in response to what Bob Mueller was doing. And then he says, then it exposed and condemned everything that the Mueller investigation was doing. Then Barr became attorney general and Mueller was made to look like a fool. Between that memo and Barr's quick ascension to attorney general, the Mueller team had to change their strategy. And my father says further on, I think God set them a trap. I think he set them a trap and then shredded the case for obstruction that Mueller was trying to prove. That's part of God temporarily saving America by the hand of Jeroboam. So we're in the Jeroboam end. And time and time again, we see traps, or we see God upsetting their plan. When it looks, like I've said before, going back to even when Judge Scalia died, it looked really bad, even during the Kavanaugh hearings. I mean, it looked really bad for conservatives. And yet we see God's hand, setting traps, upsetting their plans. Now, coming back to this laptop that was just dropped off, this is from Right Scoop News. It says, yesterday, Fox News obtained the laptop repair shop receipt for Hunter Biden's laptop, and it shows the name and signature of Hunter Biden. Now, some say, well, maybe it was forged. Maybe it was someone who signed for him. In any event, it says, according to the Daily Mail, none of this is verified, so it's really the alleged signature of Hunter Biden, which brings up the question of why Hunter would drop off the laptop and never pick it up. Here it has all of this damning information. It has all of this disgusting imagery and video. And he drops it off and never picks it up. How do you explain this? It says, was he on drugs and forgot about it, or did someone else drop it off and forge his signature? Either way, the laptop and the emails are definitely his, so I'm not sure this detail is of crucial importance, but it would be very interesting if it turned out he dropped off and abandoned the computer. So he says, either way, it doesn't really matter, but it is an interesting point that makes you scratch your head. It has all of this information that's just destroying the Biden campaign, basically. Joe Biden's gone into hiding. 5 days to prepare for a debate? Putting a lid on the campaign for 5 days in the last 2 weeks before the election? This has never happened. When have you seen a presidential campaign say, you know what, I think it will help us if he disappears rather than if he's out there in public? That's essentially what they're doing. That's the strategy that they're taking. Just pour tens of millions of dollars into commercials and hopefully we can stagger across the finish line. So he's got all of his surrogates out there saying that, well, this is just Russian disinformation. We've seen this before. This is how Trump operates. Adam Schiff is leading the charge, saying that even the intelligence community believes that Hunter Biden, the laptop and all that, is just all part of a sophisticated Russian disinformation campaign. And the director of national intelligence, Ratcliffe, he came out, I believe it was Monday when we were traveling, and said, you know, no, this is not Russian disinformation. Let's look at the actual evidence. As I said last week, that's what the left won't do. That's what the major media won't do. Instead, they're covering it up because they know how damaging this is. This is from the New York Post this morning. It says the Department of Justice agrees with Spy Chief John Ratcliffe's assessment that emails published by the Post from a laptop owned by Hunter Biden are not part of a Russian disinformation campaign. Sources told Fox News that the FBI is also indeed in possession of the Hunter Biden laptop that the emails were copied from. It says here, the first story the Post published about Hunter's emails included a photo of a Delaware federal subpoena that showed both the computer and its hard drive were seized by the FBI in December, so that's 10 months ago, right before the sham impeachment, by the way. All of this evidence found on this laptop, it basically cleared President Trump. That's another angle to this story that's not getting enough play. The fact that it exonerates Donald Trump. And the FBI had it. The FBI under a Trump administration had the contents from this laptop. And you know, again, the circumstances surrounding the impeachment. It was all over a phone call that President Trump made to the Ukrainian president, saying that you really ought to investigate Burisma and Biden's involvement in that the shady connections there. And now look at what's being revealed. It says on Monday, Ratcliffe, the director of national intelligence, said the emails were not part of some Russian disinformation campaign. They were not part of it. It's legit, in other words. They come from Hunter Biden. And as we've covered in recent programs, well, there's a lot of damning evidence there suggesting that Joe Biden knew all about it. All about these business dealings, and in fact was, if we're to believe some of the messages, was part of the scheme. Funneling money into the Biden family estates. Using that power, that influence of the vice president's office to enrich themselves. Rudy Giuliani has had a hand in exposing a lot of this, so he's obviously coming under attack. But it's interesting to watch even his revelations or interviews. This was on Newsmax, which I guess Newsmax is a fairly reputable site, but it's just surprising to me that he's not featured even more prominently on Fox News, on talk radio. I mean, on the other hand, I guess when you look at some of the salacious and disgusting content on the laptop, in some ways you're kind of glad that it is obscured to some extent. But this is like the Steele dossier on steroids. And the Steele dossier, of course, those were just lies. This actually happened. There's evidence on the hard drive, in the emails. Pictures, videos, as I say. I left out, and again, it's a family show, so we're not going to let the Newsmax interview just fill up this segment, but I just want to play you a few clips from what Rudy Giuliani said in his interview yesterday. As I say, I left out the worst of it. But here's Rudy from yesterday, clip four.
Well, this is really a very, very sensitive one. There's a text message to his father in which he says the following, and he's discussing his sister-in-law, who for quite some time was his lover. And he says, she told my therapist that I was sexually inappropriate.
That's from his interview with Newsmax. And the thing that he said there at the start is the exchange that he went on to discuss with Newsmax. It was between Hunter Biden and his father. The daughter-in-law of Joe Biden was, you know, obviously upset at what Hunter was doing. So she had communicated this to Hunter. Hunter was then telling Joe, the point that Rudy is making there is that Joe Biden knew all about this, at least this particular incident with a teenager, by the way. Here's a little bit more from what he said later in the interview, clip five.
If you were to look at the photographs on this hard drive and you didn't report it to the police, well, if you were a law enforcement officer, you'd be guilty of a felony. And if you're just a normal citizen, you'd be a horrible human being.
If you have seen what I've seen, if you're in law enforcement, it's a felony not to bring it forward. And if you covered it up as a private citizen, what a horrible, horrible person you would be, says Rudy Giuliani. He explained in the interview that he turned over this laptop after he saw some of the images he saw recently to the Delaware State Police. And he said, if they don't do something about this, if they don't do something with this, what a tragedy. I mean, just looking at it from a law enforcement standpoint, never mind the election, never mind the fact that the father here is running for president of the United States. Here's Rudy from yesterday, clip six.
This is probably the worst scandal I've ever seen. And there's a depravity to it that's horrendous, which is why I reported it to the Delaware police. And I hope they're independent enough to investigate it properly. But there are images on here where if you don't realize how damaging this is to young people, there's something wrong with you. And so, Joe Biden knows that. Plus, Joe Biden is the one who used his son to be a bag man for 20 years when he knew his son was a drug addict. This is not about Hunter Biden. It's about Joe Biden. It's about what a crook he is and what a horrible father he is.
That last point that he makes there, the bagman point, that Rudy was saying, look, Joe Biden, while he was vice president, he could have used any Washington insider or anyone from the swamp or the deep state, any crony of his, to go around and be the money collector, to get hired on with these boards and whatnot. As it was, he used his own son, who was a drug addict, instead of trying to help his son. Instead of trying to heal or at least take steps to getting him on the road to being sober again. Instead, his son was out there, as you heard last week, tens of thousands of dollars per month, millions of dollars coming in from communist China. And what does it say, as he said there, what does it say about Joe Biden as just a father? First and foremost, he went on, this last clip is about the media censorship of this story. Here's clip seven.
There's an iron curtain of censorship over this. And I'm going to tell you why. Because this is fatal to Joe Biden as a candidate. It should be fatal to him as a human being. Because I don't mean fatal, but I mean he should be prosecuted for this. These are major bribes in which he sold out the United States to China. And there's a sexual depravity to this that is disgusting.
As I said, I mean, this is like the Steele dossier times 10. And he's saying this is something that if you leave aside even the political campaign, there should be some indictments coming down real soon. Whether or not there will be, I guess we'll see. But then you look at the media cover-up, just totally smothering this story. And I think the Newsmax commentator went on in that exchange, he went on to say, well, you know, the media, they feel like, and this really isn't true, as I said, the Rust Belt really swung it in the direction of President Trump back in 2016. But they feel like the media, the, you know, the deep state, the swamp, whatever you want to call it, they feel like that bringing forth, you know, hey, we're going to open an investigation into the laptop from Anthony Weiner, and that hurt Hillary Clinton. So this time around, look, we did everything that we could to at least cover up crimes so that there were no indictments back in 2016. But we exposed enough to hurt Hillary Clinton politically. So this time around, it's just a complete and total blackout. This time around, it's just total censorship. This time around, as I say, you have a man running for president who's in hiding for days. Now, maybe there's more reasons for this, but you can be sure he's not going to be, he certainly doesn't want to be out there answering questions. And there's not even that many questions that he's getting. Here was one yesterday, and it was basically after Ron Johnson, he's a senator, came out and said, you know, look, we need to look into this. And this is a reporter asking Joe Biden about Senator Johnson's claims. Clip 8.
Ron Johnson put out a statement on Homeland Security letterhead saying Hunter Biden, together with other Biden family members, profited off the Biden name. Is there any legitimacy to Senator Johnson's claims?
None whatsoever. This is the same garbage Rudy Giuliani, Trump's henchman. It's a last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. Even the man who served with him on that committee, a former nominee for the Republican Party, said there's no basis to this. And, you know, and the vast majority of the intelligence people have come out and said there's no basis at all. Ron should be ashamed of himself.
So it's just it's a smear campaign. That's the position that the Joe Biden campaign is taking. But as I say, he's not going to come out to talk much about this because chances are it's going to hurt him more than just disappearing. So he goes missing. It'll be interesting to see how this just staying away from. Can't you, on the other hand, you have President Trump, who he's now hitting two stops a day. Yesterday he was in Pennsylvania, Erie, Pennsylvania. He was talking about all of the money that's just pouring into the Democrat coffers, and how that if you've got tens of millions of dollars coming in, hundreds of millions when you total it up, you know there's some shady deals going on. And look at the way they've operated as individual families, whether it's the Clintons or the Obamas or the Bidens. Here's what the president said in Erie, Pennsylvania, clip 1.
But when you see them raise $300-$350 million in a month and a half, you know deals are being made, just so you understand. Deals are being made, big deals, bills. I mean, look at the deals that he's making for himself, okay? But deals are being made.
That's President Trump yesterday. And then, to be more precise, he goes in and on the attack, you could say, against the Biden family and all this corruption here in this next clip, clip 2.
The fact is, whether you like it or not, whether you want to hear it or not, Joe Biden is a corrupt politician. He's a corrupt politician. And smoking gun emails show that the Biden family sold the vice presidency for a very, very substantial amount of money, more money than anybody would believe. He let China plunder your jobs while his family raked in millions of dollars from China and foreign nations. The Bidens got rich while Pennsylvania got robbed, and so did the rest of our country. If Biden wins, China wins. If Biden wins, China will own the USA, and you know it. There's no way he does anything about it. And yet, media and the big tech, they're desperately trying to cover up everything. They don't want to hear speeches like this. They don't want to hear anything about it. This is a massive scandal that they're trying to suppress. I'm not just running against Biden, Sleepy Joe. I'm running against the corrupt media, the big tech giants, the Washington swamp, And the Democrat Party is a part of all of them, every single one of them.
A massive scandal, as he says there, that they're desperately trying to suppress. Big media, big tech, as he says here in this final clip, clip three.
The media and big tech is trying to hide the entire scandal. Do you believe what they're doing? They're taking people like a Charlie Kirk and others off if they even mention that Biden is corrupt. And they know he's corrupt, but he's their corrupt. He's so perfect for them. He's their corrupt. Because they know that publicizing these revelations would mean an end of Biden's presidential run. I think it's an end right now. Look, you know, I think it's an end right now. How the hell can you do when you see the kind of things that they do where the big guy has to get at least 10%, the big guy. I wonder who the big guy is. Gee, I wonder. When you see what, if you put him as president, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You want to know the truth. I'm not just running against Biden. I'm running against the left-wing media, the big tech giants, and the Washington swamp. And I've been running against it from the beginning.
That's the president, actually, from 2 days ago. That speech was in Arizona. The two other ones from Pennsylvania. But coming back to some of the quotes I gave to you at the start of the segment, this is from my father's message, January 2019, so almost 2 years ago, in the Trumpet. He talked about the Amos 7 prophecy implying that there's a conservative advantage in the Supreme Court, and he said, you know, Justice Kavanaugh kind of tips it to the conservative side. Now you add Amy Coney Barrett, and they're going to vote on her Monday. So she's probably going to get in just a week before the U.S. election, the presidential election. And my father said back in January 2019, even in such tumultuous times, God is saving America temporarily through Jeroboam. The fact that Kavanaugh was actually confirmed despite all the protests shows that to be true. He says radicals want to control the courts, especially the Supreme Court, and God upset those plans. He has a plan of his own. He has a plan of his own. And then my father said, I believe Mr. Kavanaugh's confirmation indicates God will likely see that President Trump has a second term. So that's from January of 2019. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with the segment we taped just last week at Mount Rushmore in beautiful South Dakota. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the program. Right now, I'm in the great state of South Dakota here in the United States of America. And seeing Mount Rushmore, which is just behind me, it makes me think of the many messages that we've given to you over the years, particularly in the last few months, where we've emphasized the importance of history.
the importance of history, and I'll point you to a couple of scriptures here in just a moment, that shows just how important it is to God and to God's people. But even in looking at our society today, look at what's happening here in the United States of America. Look at what's happening in American cities, where statues are being torn down and all of these monuments that people used to come from all over the world to see. And now you have this movement, this angry, divisive movement that just wants to tear down and destroy and cancel. Consider what it says in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7. This is Moses writing to the Israelites. And he said, "Remember the days of old." Remember the days of old. He said, "Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you." Moses said, "You remember those days of old. You remember your history. Ask the fathers, ask the elders, and make sure that they tell you, that they keep you grounded in your historical roots." Recently, the United States celebrated Columbus Day. Well, really, more and more people don't celebrate it. They've actually done away with it in a lot of states. In Portland, they had some riots on that day or leading into Columbus Day. Antifa called it the Day of Rage. It was a relatively small group, about 200 protesters, and they weren't even protesters. These were rioters, and they toppled statues of former presidents, two of them on this mountain behind me, carved into this mountain, Theodore Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln. They pulled down those statues and then shattered the entrance to the Oregon Historical Society. Now, as I say, it wasn't even a huge crowd, but as we've seen over the course of this year, mayors and governors in many states here in the United States, they've basically given space to the rioters. They haven't cracked down on this rioting, on this arson, on this looting. And so it just goes on and on and on. 200 rioters that could have been stopped probably within a matter of minutes. It wouldn't have been that hard to put a stop to it. One local newspaper said after toppling the statues, some protesters began smashing windows at the Oregon Historical Society, unfurling a banner that read, "Stop honoring racist colonizer murderers." So that's what they think now of Columbus. That's what they think of the founding fathers of the United States. But Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt. My father had a program back in June of this year, June 19th, 2020. How Lincoln won the Civil War. He said in that program that America has suffered through a civil war once already, and today it's racing toward a second civil war. And there's only one way to prevent this deadly tragedy, he said. So how do we prevent another civil war from coming, from happening? You see, as I say, you see America today deeply divided. How are we going to save this nation? Is it even possible? Well, as he pointed out in that program back in June, if you go back to the time of the Civil War in the 1860s, it was Abraham Lincoln that saved the nation. You talk about a giant of history. Abraham Lincoln stood up against those that, well, even those that just sort of passively watched what was happening. Quite a few others were barbarically dividing the nation. And Lincoln almost single-handedly held it together. If you look into that man's life, we find some clues that we need to delve into and study to understand how to save America today. Lincoln's thoughts and words, his leadership, his character saved the Union. It saved the Union. But where did that come from, that character? How did Lincoln grow from a child born on the frontier to a man who rose above politicians and generals and everyday people to save the nation? Well, something made him who he was. What was it? If you look at Lincoln's education, well, if you look at all of us, really, each of us is a product of our education. Each of us is who he is because of our education. Not just in school, but in life. Even the radicals we see on the streets who want to erase America's history, they were educated to be radical. Herbert W. Armstrong once said that the future welfare and even the existence of civilization is dependent on the educational system. For individuals, for nations, education shapes our future. And what has been the education of our current generation? Well, I mentioned Herbert Armstrong and what he said about how that we're products of our education. And he talked about modern education many years ago, saying little or nothing has been taught about God. But even in the elementary grades, the basic concept, the approach to knowledge, is evolution. He said that about education decades ago. Little or nothing is taught about God. But what was the education of the man, Abraham Lincoln, who held the nation together? Well, young Lincoln, he certainly knew that there was a creator, and that creator knew him. Carl Sandburg, he's the famous biographer who wrote the 6-volume biography of Lincoln in the 1920s. And it includes fascinating ways in which God intervened in Lincoln's education, in his very existence even. Sandburg wrote this about the portentous dreams of Abraham's father. He said, his father had portentous dreams. His father told how in a night's sleep, once he saw a wayside path to a strange house. He saw the inside walls, the chairs, the table, the fireplace in that house. At the fireside, a woman was sitting, and her face, eyes, and lips came clear. She was paring an apple. She was the woman to be his wife. This was the dream, and in his night's sleep, it came again and again. He could not shake it off. It haunted him till he went to the path, followed the path to the house, went inside, and there saw a woman sitting at the fireside, paring an apple. Her face, eyes, and lips were those that he had seen so often in his night of sleep, in his dreams. And the rest of the dream came to pass. That's what Sandburg wrote many years ago. Well, that woman's name was Nancy, and she became the mother of one of the greatest Americans in history. His likeness is carved in the stone behind me. Abraham Lincoln. It sure seems that God wanted these two to marry, the parents, that is, to marry and to have young Abraham. And when he was old enough to learn about this from his parents, those dreams, those portentous dreams, it had a real effect on Abraham. Now, Nancy, his mother, died when Abraham was just 9 years old. And that same year, little Abe was kicked by a horse so badly that at first they thought he had been killed. But he recovered, and his father remarried. Abraham's stepmother, her name was Sarah, and she would also exert a great influence on his early education. And how did she educate him? Well, she read to him often, and it was usually from the same book. Her reading to him and teaching him from that book was how he learned to read, even, and to write in the first place. That book, as you probably know, was the Holy Bible. Abraham Lincoln was educated in large part by the Bible as a young man. He loved reading it. He studied it. He read every other book that he could get his hands on, including other writings about the Bible. Out in a shack on the American frontier, this was Abraham Lincoln's educational system. His entire life included less than 1 year of formal schooling. And yet he became a great ruler of men, being educated early on by the Bible. Carl Sandburg wrote, Lincoln read the Bible closely, knew it from cover to cover, was familiar with its stories and its poetry, quoted from it in his talks to juries, in political campaigns, in his speeches, and in his letters. When he encountered death of loved ones or friends, Lincoln often quoted the Bible. He told his half-brother to tell his dying father later in life to put his trust in his Maker. And when a dying woman asked him to read scriptures before anyone could bring him a Bible, he just started quoting Psalm 23 from memory. Later in life, this is Sandburg, he wrote, upon receiving a Bible as a gift, actually I think this might be from just a news report from a few years ago, but this turned up. He wrote this about receiving a gift that was a Bible. He said, in regard to this great book, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book, but for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are to be found portrayed in this book. That's what Lincoln believed about the Bible. Now, what's interesting, if you look at Carl Sandburg's biography, he wrote the sixth volume biography back in the 1920s, and then he came along, I think about 30 years later, and wrote the abridged version in 1954, or thereabouts. And a lot of this history, young Abraham Lincoln's history with God, that was just left out of the abridged version. Now you have to give him some poetic license, I guess. He can't keep all six volumes in the one volume version. But isn't it amazing that so many of these inspiring accounts, these inspiring instances that he had with his parents, with God even, with the Bible, that somehow or another that was just erased from the abridged version. And the abridged version, I mean, that was back in the 1950s. You can really see, even then, this satanic effort to erase God from our history. I've given programs on that before. Satan really hates the history of the modern-day nations of Israel. My father points out in the Ezekiel booklet that he hates his own history, and so he's trying to blot it out. The Bible says that Satan's hard at work trying to blot out the history of Israel. And of course, Israel today is primarily Ephraim and Manasseh, or the United States and Britain. We're going to offer you on this program Herbert Armstrong's classic prophetic work, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. So stay tuned. Take all the information down on your screen and make sure you call our operators today to request The United States and Britain in Prophecy. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Abraham Lincoln, the savior of our Union, was a self-taught country lawyer who grew up in a log cabin on the American frontier. The first Republican president, he rose to high office from obscurity based on a force and clarity of his anti-slavery convictions, very, very strong convictions.
That's a clip there from President Donald Trump in a speech that he gave right here at Mount Rushmore back in July of 2020. Just to return for a moment to the Carl Sandburg biography, he writes of other ways, not just his education, but other ways that God intervened in shaping Abraham Lincoln. It's well known that Lincoln taught himself to become a skilled trial lawyer. Now, how did he do that? Well, he was a 23-year-old, heavily indebted clerk of a store and tavern in a town of about 300 people. So unless something exceptional happened, he would remain an unexceptional man that history never heard of. Sandburg writes of this barrel. One day, a farmer heading back east stopped his wagon at the store to try to lighten his load. He offered to sell Lincoln a barrel, and Lincoln at first declined, but then to oblige him, I bought it and paid a half dollar for it, said Lincoln. He put the barrel in a corner, and then months later, he needed to store something, and he dumped out the barrel, and out fell a bunch of junk and a copy of William Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England. Now, as some have noted, if that book is not in that barrel, Abraham Lincoln doesn't teach himself law at that point, or possibly ever. He does not become an excellent lawyer. He does not enter politics. He never gives speeches like his Lyceum address. He never debates Stephen Douglas. He never meets the chairman of the Illinois Republican Party. The party convention never moves to Chicago. He never becomes the party's nominee. He never becomes president of the United States of America on the verge of a great civil war. But as it happens, that book was in that barrel, Blackstone's commentary. And Abraham Lincoln would become president of the United States in 1860, just a month before the Civil War started. Now, that war would kill more Americans than all other wars combined. All other wars combined, before and since. World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan. More men killed than all other American wars combined. The war and Lincoln's life would end 4 years later. And so he had a very narrow window to make a difference. During that time, he had to marshal every ounce of strength of mind, strength of character, strength of leadership. And he did that. And in those 4 years, his education, his biblical principles, his peculiar moral power, and the greatness of his character changed history. As my father has emphasized, you have to write God back into the history. You don't want to erase him from it. You don't want to take God out of it. Write God back into it, back into the history, and you'll be amazed. Just like I've been amazed in going through portions of that 6-volume set on Lincoln, written way back in the 1920s. You see God so clearly. Let God get written out of history, and this whole nation, I'm talking about America today, it'll stumble into another, much more deadlier civil war. Notice what Lincoln wrote in a letter back in 1862. He's commenting on the war raging at that time. He said, "We are indeed going through a great trial, a fiery trial, in the very responsible position in which I happen to be placed, being a humble servant in the hands of our Heavenly Father, as I am, as we all are, to work out His great purposes. I have desired that all my work and acts may be according to His will, and that it might be so. I have sought His aid." That's an older Lincoln, a much older Lincoln, relying on God. Here's another quote from Lincoln, a conversation he had with a wounded general back in 1863. This was 2 days after Gettysburg. He said, "When everybody seemed panic-stricken and nobody could tell what was going to happen, oppressed by the gravity of our affairs, I went to my room one day and I locked the door, got down on my knees before Almighty God and prayed to Him mightily for victory at Gettysburg. I told Him this was His war, and our cause was His cause. But we couldn't stand another Fredericksburg or Chancellorsville. And then and there, I made a solemn vow." This is Lincoln writing. "I made a solemn vow to Almighty God that if He would stand by our boys at Gettysburg, I would stand by Him. And after that, I don't know how it was, and I can't explain it," he said, "a sweet comfort crept into my soul that God Almighty had taken the whole business into His own hands and that things would go all right after Gettysburg." Let me just play you one more clip This is from President Trump's speech right here at Mount Rushmore back in July of 2020.
He served as Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Armed Forces during our bloodiest war, the struggle that saved our Union and extinguished the evil of slavery. Over 600,000 died in that war. More than 20,000 were killed or wounded in a single day in Antietam. At Gettysburg, 157 years ago, the Union bravely withstood an assault of nearly 15,000 men and threw back Pickett's charge. Lincoln won the Civil War. He issued the Emancipation Proclamation. He led the passage of the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery for all time. And ultimately, his determination to preserve our nation and our Union cost him his life. For as long as we live, Americans will uphold and revere the immortal memory of President Abraham Lincoln.
That was President Trump back in July of 2020. Let me just close by quoting to you again that verse in Deuteronomy where it says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Consider the years of many generations." Moses said, "Ask your father. Ask thy father." He went on to say, "Ask the elders." Make sure that you know your history. You can study Deuteronomy from beginning to end and really see that that's a theme, a reoccurring theme. You teach your children. Study Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11 and understand the importance that we as parents have to teach our children. Remember, we're products, all of us, we're products of our education. We'll offer to you at the end of this program our booklet on the subject of education, Education with Vision. That's what God wants us to have. He wants us to see far back into the past and far into the future as well. These booklets, Education with Vision, the United States and Britain and Prophecy, they really will help you to do that if you're willing to put in the time and the effort to study diligently God's truth. Stay tuned. Make sure you get the information that you need so that you can request the free literature today. Thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you next time.